Blog Talk Radio.
What was that? Oh, you're kidding me.
Guess what time it is?
Yeah, it's time for me to go to bed. I'm sorry.
I know. We're carrying over from our Scrap Go Scrap podcast, but I figured I'd go ahead and make an announcement that we decided we're going to change our podcast hours. 10 o'clock a.m. is not going to work, so we're going to change it to, 4 or 5 p.m.?
4.
4
p.m. So we have an hour of sunlight. Right.
We have an hour of sunlight, and then we'll, after the Free Food and Medicine podcast at 4 p.m. on Monday, we'll do our Scrap Gov Scrap podcast. And so if there's any carryover from our Free Food and Medicine podcast, we'll continue talking about it on Scrap Gov Scrap, because the two are kind of interrelated anyways.
Right.
Which, basically, we are carrying over from the Scrap Gov Scrap podcast onto the Free Food and Medicine podcast. So we're just going to have one long dual podcast recording.
Which is ending about now.
Yeah.
Sorry, folks.
Well, we got to finish our 11 disgusting natural ingredients in food.
All right, I'll shut up and let you do that.
Well, basically, the first one was coal tar, which is yellow number 5. The second one really wasn't that gross. It's seaweed, but maybe it's the way that they extract it. The reason we were looking this up, or I looked this up, was because we were talking about beaver butt gland, which is basically used for strawberry, raspberry, or vanilla flavoring.
But not anymore.
Well, supposedly not anymore. We don't know this.
They now use artificially created, artificially chemically produced beaver butt gland.
That could be true. Number 4 is boiled beetles, which is kosher, maybe. And in some countries, they already eat all kinds of bugs, so they don't care. Boiled beetles is found in Skittles, some ice creams, yogurts, candy, waffles, lemonade, grapefruit juice. I mean, of course, the FDA allows so many bug parts per million in your food, which is fine because, I mean, you can't get all the bugs out of your food. I mean, it's just natural. You're going to have some bugs in your food. It's protein. Speaking of protein, the other one was what? Hydrolyzed protein, which we were just talking about, which
you've
probably
chemically
isn't good
altered
for you.
Protein.
Kind of like high fructose corn syrup.
Well, yes. High fructose, not really bad. Corn syrup, if it's non-GMO, not really bad. But the processing that produces high fructose corn syrup from corn results in heavy metals being in it. Very bad.
Very bad.
All right. So it's the process. All right. So back to the carrageenan, if I'm pronouncing it right. You know, it's a gelatin basically extracted from seaweed. If they're extracting it the way they extract starch from various plants, no problem. But if they're using a chemical process to get it out, then there's problems.
Right, like soybean oil or soybeans.
Yeah.
They use a toxic way to process the soybean, which basically makes the soybean toxic. But if you ferment the soybean, then it becomes non-toxic.
Right. You know, and you know, if you want to get soybean oil that way, I don't know how you'd get soybean oil other than the way that they do it, maybe pressing it, you know. I'm sure there's non-toxic ways of getting soybean oil.
Oh, yeah, that's one of the things that the Chinese do right.
Yep, yep.
I mean, it's not the only thing they do right, but it's one of the things. All right, number six on the list is rodent hair. Again, it's probably back to the so many parts per million, blah, blah, blah.
Well, if they're using it for an actual flavoring, it's not a part per million thing. It's they did it on purpose.
It looks like it says here, okay, if you are a fan of boxed macaroni and cheese or peanut butter, you may also enjoy rodent hair. Each mac and cheese may contain one rodent hair per 500 grams, while the FDA says peanut butter may contain an average of one rodent hair per 100 grams.
Okay, that's a non sequitur then, because quite frankly, if you have one rodent in your house, chances are you will have a rodent hair in something you eat in your home that came from your home.
Right. Just like cats and dogs.
Just because it's floating around as the dust in the air.
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
Borax. It's number
borax.
Seven.
I don't think you should have borax in your food.
Let's see here. Asian noodles, rice dishes, caviar, and, meatballs. Bakso, whatever bakso is, it's a meatball. Borax is an additive known for its preservative and acidity control qualities. So that's what they're using it for. This ingredient has been banned from the U.S. and Canada, but is still present in Europe. Borax is used in cleaning and laundry products, pottery, and as a fire retardant. They have been warning that high consumption of this additive over 5 to 10 can cause cancer. Oh, over 5 to 10, I don't know what that means, years old? Or, I don't know.
They're probably talking about an amount, and so there's probably a measurement that goes with that.
Right. 5 or 10 parts per million, who knows?
Right, yeah, there's probably something like that. Arsenic is a cumulative poisoning. As far as I know, there's not much that takes arsenic out of the body. I'm sure there's some sort of chelation that would get it out. But for the most part, it's one of those where you eat a little, and you eat a little more, and you eat a little more, and it just keeps building up. They feed it to chickens. What does the article say?
Scientists have been finding traces of arsenic in foods for years. Arsenic is a known carcinogen and is generally hazardous to humans. While it's been known to turn up in many foods, for instance, beer, wine, and the beer and wine that are lighter in color may contain arsenic. Oh, well, good. I'll keep drinking my dark beers and dark wines.
There you go.
As the brewers and makers use diatomaceous earth to filter their products, which contain iron and metals. Opt in for unfiltered drinking or unfiltered drinks instead. So I didn't know diatomaceous earth could cause arsenic poisoning.
Interesting.
And we're feeding it to our cats. And people eat it on a regular. You know, our hippie friends eat diatomaceous earth. Drink it. As a health product.
Right.
And it's also a good dewormer.
We'll have to look into that. But I'll tell you this. One of the ways you can get arsenic is by eating too much chicken.
Right.
I don't know if it's still a practice, but it has been a traditional practice to feed chickens arsenic to make them hungry so that they eat more and get fat faster.
I don't see how they could use diatomaceous earth as a filter. It's like powder.
They use diatomaceous earth as a filter to remove arsenic?
No, it says, for instance, beers and wines that are lighter in color may contain arsenic, as the brewers and makers use diatomaceous earth to filter their products, which contain iron and metals.
Okay.
So then it says, opt in for the unfiltered drinks instead. So, yeah, that's something worth looking into, because diatomaceous earth is not really a free food and medicine, but it's something that we in the alternative health turn to for a medicine. And now, according to this, it may not be good for us, so we'll have to look into that.
Right.
It's good for killing bugs, and maybe that's why.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, they say it gets into their joints and such.
Right.
And it's good for killing parasites inside the body.
Right.
So
we use it as a dewormer for our animals.
Right.
So, yeah, we definitely need to look into that before we maybe give more to our animals. Sheep secretions. The gross, strange-smelling, and greasy substance that moms who are breastfeeding smear on their breasts is called
lanolin.
Lanolin is basically secretions from a sheep. The oily substance comes from the inside of the sheep's wool. If you've ever chewed some gum, you've probably tasted this delightful additive. It's listed as gum base. So gum, and apparently they put it in vitamin D3 supplements.
Well, you know, lanolin is good to rub on your skin.
Yeah, I'm not gonna knock that one too much.
We put
emu oil on, ostrich oil on her skin.
I don't. It's not kosher.
I do. Oh, well.
But lanolin would be kosher. Lanolin would be kosher.
All right, the vegans might not like that. And they might not like this one either. Goat stomach.
Making cheese.
Cheese, yep.
Yeah, in particular, they want the bile from the goat stomach.
So that's after the goat's passed away?
Well, yeah. When you butcher it, you extract the bile.
Okay.
Right, and the bile helps cheese to curdle. Helps the milk to curdle. So
there you go. Human hair, that's a no-brainer.
And it actually gives a better flavor than using, say, vinegar.
Interesting.
Which will also make milk curdle.
Oh, yeah. Well, vegans won't eat milk, so they're safe. They won't eat cheese. They're safe.
No, they'll eat vegan cheese, which I've read the ingredients on.
That's actually probably more unsafe.
You might eat a stick of margarine.
Right. Vegan cheese is probably less healthy than real cheese.
By far less healthy. It's basically Velveeta made from nuts.
Nuts?
Usually. But
well, that's not that bad.
No. And the ingredients they put into Velveeta are not so bad, but when they get done with them, they are.
That's true, like high fructose corn syrup and soybean.
Right.
Which a lot of
yeah,
the vegan stuff is soy, and I'm 90% sure it's not made right.
In general, processed food is not as good as unprocessed food. And
this is true.
To all you home canners out there, home canning is processing your food.
Yeah, but you got to do something.
Right. It's a much better processing than what they do industrially to put the stuff in the cans.
Oh, way better.
Okay. So if you had to make a choice, quite frankly, I'm looking at all the candies and fudges and things like that, and I'm seeing where I can make the same quality as far as consistency and taste in fudge as you can buy in the store without all the strange chemicals, with all natural ingredients, and I'd spend one-tenth the cost as I would if I bought what they sold me in the store. And
right.
So, their cost margin cannot be so tight that they can't do the same. Cannot. I understand they have lawyers and legal teams and shipping and all that stuff, but if their cost of margin is so tight that they have to spend less than a penny per whatever to produce this chemically induced food, then there's something terribly wrong. Because, I don't know, a piece of fudge that my friends bought me for $2.50 that I could have made for less than a quarter.
Right.
And made out of pure natural ingredients as opposed to what they made the piece of fudge they bought me out of. The only reason I'm glad they bought me that piece of fudge is because when I sampled it, I was very pleased to find out that my fudge, my bachelor fudge, my no-bake bachelor fudge, was the same consistency and roughly the same flavor as the stuff with all the chemicals in it and cost a lot less to make than it did to buy their chemically induced crap.
And it was healthier.
Yeah, it's all natural ingredients. It's actually a health food when you compared it to what they were selling. Sugar, raw cocoa, raw organic non-GMO cocoa, coconut oil, little bit of water, some sort of starch or flour. You know, so if you use arrowroot for your starch, arrowroot's actually got nutritional content to it. You know, so.
Oh, and I used organic canola oil.
Is that in the list?
No, I'm just kidding. Oh, no, the number 11 was human hair, which you can usually find in breads.
Well, is that an ingredient or is that an accident?
I don't know. It's probably accidental. I already exited it out. We were mostly looking for beaver butt when I looked that up.
Right, right. Yeah. You're going to. Hey, it's bread. All right. It got cooked. So any little creepy crawly things that was on that hair that fell into the loaf got cooked and killed.
Right, kind of like eating after your friend after they cook what they licked.
If they've cooked it after they licked it. I mean, it's kind of standard. I understand most cooks, but honestly, a considerate cook will have a stack of spoons and use a new spoon every time they taste test their food.
That's
it's important that the cook tastes their food, but they should have a stack. They should have 20 spoons sitting there on the counter ready for them to use. You know, every time they taste it, the spoon goes in the sink.
That's why I have more spoons than I have forks and knives.
There you go. You're a considerate cook. All right. A lot of people are not really considerate cooks, but if it's being, you know, I'm sure Shirley taste tests her food. Otherwise it couldn't come out so good. I don't see her have a ton of spoons in the sink, but it's hot soup. Any germs she put into the soup, she cooked and killed. All right?
Hopefully.
So, well, she, you know, it's hot soup. It's been cooked and killed.
I'm just kidding.
All right?
I'm just trying to give you nightmares, that's all.
I would probably give her a hard time if I caught her doing that. But she'd say, well, you don't have to eat it, you know, or she'd say, shut up and eat it, one of the two, you know.
Or give you a big kiss.
Right. Yeah, no, she wouldn't give me a kiss. Not.
I'm just kidding. Oh, goodness.
I got friends who do not believe in the germ theory of disease. All right. Well, that's fine. Maybe germs are not what's passing the disease. Maybe germs only take advantage of a sick body. All right. But it has been demonstrated that certain practices result in you getting sick. Whether those practices reduced the germs and thus prevented you from getting sick, or they reduced whatever pathogen is passing on the disease, all right? One way or another, there's a pathogen involved, and washing your hand gets rid of the pathogens. Not double dipping prevents the transfer of these pathogens, all right? Pathogens don't necessarily have to be germs. They can be chemicals. Heck, they could be little demons, and the water washes the demons away. I don't care. They're there. They exist. I may not necessarily know what those pathogens are, but it's been demonstrated washing your hands, washing your utensils, not double dipping, you know, following these basic hygiene practices results in people not getting sick, you know, like washing your hands after you wipe your butt. Okay? You know? You know, you hear the toilet flush and the person walks out of the bathroom immediately and starts cooking your food.
Oh, God. Or even go to the salad bar after that. Oh, I see that so many times. It's just disgusting. That's one reason why I don't eat salad bars.
It's like, you know, they flushed. You know, you hear them flush and they didn't even have time to hardly pull up their pants and they're walking out the door.
Yeah.
You know, Maybe they washed their hands before they actually flushed the toilet. Maybe the flushing the toilet was an afterthought, which is gross in itself, but, you know. But more than likely, they just flushed and pulled their pants up and left. What?
What did they wash their hands in? A toilet bowl?
Yeah, you're just trying to gross me out now.
No, I'm serious, okay? You're in a bathroom.
Right.
Okay. They're in a stall. You're in a urinal or another stall. They flush and they walk out. Where do they wash their hands?
Okay. Your speculation is, your speculation is a little bit off. All right. So there's at least one restaurant in Stockton where it's just a toilet and a sink, and there's only going to be one occupant. Okay. So wash their hands in the sink and then flush the toilet as an afterthought, because the toilet's right next to the sink.
Right. That rarely happens.
Okay.
But okay, I'll give you that.
Yeah, somebody, you know, and chances are somebody who didn't flush the toilet before they decided to wash their hands probably isn't going to flush the toilet anyway. And they're probably inconsiderate enough that they're not going to wash their hands because they, you know, they're bad hygiene by not flushing.
Right.
And yet these same people probably brush their teeth thinking that they're clean individuals.
They probably brush their teeth with fluoride thinking they're clean individuals.
Well, that's true too. Whereas they're really taking stupid pills by ingesting fluoride.
Yeah. So, next week we're going to talk about...
Fava beans.
Also known
AKA
as
broad beans. Yep, a.k.a.
So.
Broad beans. And thus it falls right after asparagus.
Bada boom, bada bing. So, stay tuned to next week's Free Food and Medicine and ScrapGov Scrap Podcast. You can find those at ManicMondayPodcast.com. You can call in to the ScrapGov Scrap Podcast or the Free Food and Medicine Podcast at the same phone number, which you can find on both websites at different times. Or you can just listen to us live here at Blog Talk Radio, but that's only for the Free Food and Medicine Podcast, not the ScrapGov Scrap Podcast. I'll get that uploaded as soon as I find time, which I'm going to try to get to soon. All right. Thank you very much. You guys have a great day or evening or whatever it is where you are, when you are. And don't forget to check out Marcus Rothkranz at freefoodandmedicine.com or freefoodandmedicine.net if you want to give me credit for it. All right. Thanks. Good night.
Good night, all.